Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, friends and soul family. I hope everyone is doing well this evening. As you know, I'm very excited for you to join the conversation today because it's going to be a very intimate conversation with a woman I greatly respect, someone who has touched my life in so many ways, and we have shared amazing stories along our journeys. And who also is a survivor of leukemia and just a great woman of faith. So I want to welcome Miss Sandra Hood. Are you with us?
Yes, I am, my love. Good evening to everyone in the audience who's listening. Good evening, good evening.
I'm so excited about this, and I'm going to go ahead and call you Mother because that's just what we do. And you know I love when you call me beloved, so I'm not going to change that. We're going to go with that. Well, I am so excited today because, you've known me for several years and how our story comes together. But today I want to salute you. I want to uplift you. And I want you to know how much you have been inspirational and inspiring and motivational for me as a woman in times good or bad that you were there for me. And I know that you will test how my support as a spiritual daughter to you. So today, I just want to kind of jump in because I don't want to waste any moment because you're going to have a lot to share. And I know, and I just want the spirit just to kind of flow through you and get you started. So the first thing we're going to talk about is I'm going to ask you a few questions about motherhood.
All right.
This is about your journey, and you can explain and offer as much insight as possible because not all of our journeys, the details of that journey is the same. The foundation of it is, but the journey itself and the details is not the same. So just because some of us believe to be a mother, a real mother, is to birth children out your womb, yes, that is definitely a high honor to do. But I know many, many mothers who did not birth children from their womb, and they had the most nurturing, loving energy than some of these mothers out here today, having a lot of children, not able to support them and give them the love and the nurturing protection that they need. So In your experience, what is a mother?
Well, in my experience, a mother is a mother that loves her children. And what I have experienced, even from my own mom, now that she's gone to be with the Lord, a mother love is about the closest condition of love that we could get is God's love. Because a mother will love you unconditionally. You can't do nothing wrong in the sight of your mother. Your mother don't love you if you're right or if you're wrong. But it is our job to guide our children in the godly way, in the godly way. And that's the way God wanted to be as mother, not a friend, not try to be like their peers or their best friend, but be a godly mother, instilling in them what the word of God is and teaching them to be young ladies of God. So that's what God wants to be as a mother. And a lot of people maybe disagree with the Baltimore mother experience, but I saw that mother in the love going rescuing my child, that you wasn't raised like this, that you are going to obey the law. You're not going to, it's a way to do it. And just give that mother kudos for what she done. Because in her way, she went, son, before the law killed you, I'm going to, way I was raised, spare rot and spoil the child. And all she went was love trying to get her child off that street. So we as mothers, we have to sometimes go to that extent when it comes to our children. Because we rather for them to be raised right than to love, kill them or take them in their own hands. And that mother was brought up in the old traditional way.
somewhere, you know, back in the day when Dr. Martin Luther King was marching, let's do things in peaceful. So it was a way to be done. Our children did not have to go and to destroy that city. So when it comes to motherhood, that's what mother is. You go beyond. Sometimes you got to go out there in the enemy camp and take back your children. So that's the way a mother. And even with you this evening, my beloved, you are so precious to me. We met years ago working at Macy's. And I never had a daughter. I'm a mother of a son. And gratefully now I have two granddaughters. But when I saw you, my beloved, Andrea, it was that instant mother love. It just like the word say, the spirit, no, the spirit, our spirits kindled. And you became my spiritual daughter. And I'm honored to be called your godmother. Because when we go through life journey, it's only life lessons that I've shared with you, that I've been through, my experience. So that's what we learn in life as mothers, that when we go through life lessons, it's for us to share. It's for us to help empower other mothers, to help other sisters, because not only God was saying to Cain, where's your brother? And he gonna holler back, I'm not my brother's keeper. Oh, yes, you are. We are our sister's keeper. We are our brother's keeper. You know, when you talk about that, you mean that, because we are to celebrate one another. We are to encourage one another. So I'm honored to be called your spiritual godmother, and I give God the glory and give him all the honor that you saw the God in me, that you wanted me to be your godmother. So I'm honored, and it's a privilege to be your godmother. And I'm not surprised that God has anointed you and equipped you to be a coach, life lesson teacher to others, and God opened the door and gave you this platform and gave you a voice to talk and to help other sisters. So I'm just, as they would say, full and couldn't be more prouder than I burp you myself, beloved.
Oh, my goodness.
Are you there? I'm getting full,
humble.
My beloved. I'm getting full,
I'm
and
so
I don't need
humble.
To get full.
No, no, no. You do you, and that's why I love you so much, because it just flows through
I'm
you
getting full
so
because I'm so proud.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. See, people, this is what I'm talking about. I mean, this is my experience. This is the kind of love and nurturing that I'm given unconditionally. Just like you said, we were like wrong together, and from that moment, it was over. We were locked in. We were locked in together. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just covered so many things in what you just shared. I just marked off like 3-4 questions that I don't even need to ask, because you already explained it. So I know we're on the same page. But let me ask you this question. Let's go a little bit deeper. What's the difference between a woman and a sacred woman? What's the difference?
I would say, back in the day, they would say, back in my time, being a loosely woman. You know, when we go out here and just be loosely and do anything, you know, and just let ourselves go. But be a woman of integrity, you know, respecting yourself, burying yourself, not letting somebody degrade you, or just not being so easy to give in to means, or just letting yourself go. But a woman that care about herself and her reputation, you know, that want her character to be known, you know, because we respect our bodies and we want our bodies to be a living sacrifice, that when people see us, that they know we're a woman of God. We're not a loose woman out here. We don't care about our morals, or we don't care about our values. So, you know, in my respect and being brought up as a woman, just being a woman of character, I would say, and not just being a woman, letting yourself go, or allowing yourself, you know, caring about. You know, I was brought up, care how you look when you leave the house. Don't go out the house with rollers in, or with your house shoes, or with your stuff undone. I remember years ago going to my aunt's house, and Lord, she cut me up left and right. What's wrong with you coming over here looking like a rag doll? You represent this family. When you leave that home, you look good. You look presentable. You know, you're a bra. You hold yourself up. And you better believe I never went back over there looking with a T-shirt, old scarf on. You know, and she taught me how to present myself, how to care how I look. And that stayed with me. you know, and I went over there that day, I think my hair combed back, wasn't looking right up. And that carried me and stayed with me. That when I leave this house, I'm representing my family. I'm representing the women that's ahead of me. So
yes,
that's my voice on that, my love.
Yes, and that leads right into to just talking about the sisterhood that you just mentioned. So what does it mean to be in a spiritual sisterhood? How should the younger generation understand what that means?
First, you know, my heart would say to them is that to build a relationship with God. And when we build a relationship with God, he would teach us how to be sisterhood, how to love one another, how not to hold animosity and strife, forgiveness. You know, our first foundation comes with our training of our mothers to know God. And once we build that relationship with God and read our word, you know, God will build us to be that woman of integrity, that woman of character, you know, the woman of God that we should be. So just developing that relationship with God, it will add that foundation in our life.
And that is said so plain and clear and full of wisdom. So, you know, Mother Sandra, what do you know for sure?
Woo! What I know for sure. That's a good one. What I know for sure is that God loves me. In spite
Amen.
Of anything else, I don't need validation from nobody else because
Amen.
I got that validation from God. Sometimes we as women, sisterhoods, we let ourselves go and we need others to validate us. And that's where I go back where I'm sharing. Once we get that foundation with God and we know that we are somebody and we're uniquely made, like Psalms 139 tell us, God uniquely made us. We all are different. We all have a lot to offer this world, you know. And that's really in the body of Christ, all our purpose is going to add in with life. Just like God has given you this purpose to be a coach, teaching, you know, on teaching life lessons and have given you this platform, that's your purpose and that's your purpose in life. That's what God has given you. And we have to celebrate you and we're honoring you by listening to what God has given you that you can coach us. Even I might be your spiritual godmother, but you coach me as well. I learn from you. And we as older women, you know, shouldn't say our younger generation can't teach us something. We can learn one from another. The Bible say, I sharpen iron. We sharpen each other. You have
yeah.
something to offer me. Even as I'm your spiritual godmother and has went through a divorce last year, you've been able to bring so much comfort to me and encouragement to me. I can't say, child, you don't know nothing. You can't tell me nothing. I was open to your encouragement. I was open for you to embrace me because this was something new to me. Divorce, I never
yes.
would have thought I'd be going down this in my life. I thought my marriage was a done deal. We was going to grow old together. We was going to go fishing on the lake. We was going to travel a little bit or just enjoy life, get our rocking chair, hold each other's hand, and just as we said before, God and our family, to death do us part. But down through
yeah.
years, I didn't know that somewhere the marriage would end. But even
yeah.
to say, my love, God love us. And that's when I can say to you, one thing I do know for sure, God loved me and he would never divorce me. He would never fall out of love with me. He will
no.
always be there for me. Listen,
yeah.
audience, hear nothing else, and nothing else I can say to you. Jesus loves
yeah.
you. He
yeah.
loves
yeah.
you. And one thing I know for sure, God got our back. He got us in the palm of his hand. And sometimes, just like the palm writer said, who wrote the footprint, sometimes we feel
mm.
like we're at our most weakest moment. Sometimes we feel
yeah.
like lightning has thrown us a boomerang. We just don't know what to do. God is
right.
carrying us, just like the writer said.
Yeah.
Well, you used to
yeah.
see those two sets of footprint. God is carrying
yeah.
us. And I have been in that position where, Lord, where are you? Are you carrying me, Lord? This is
yes.
scary out here. And even my age, I have to say that sometimes, but I still know, God, I don't see one set of footprint. He said, my beloved, I'm carrying you. I got you, baby.
Yes.
Yes. I got you. So that's one thing I do know for sure, my beloved. God have us. No matter what circumstances come up in life, even if you get a pink slip this week, God got you. Even if you go to the doctor's office and you get a statement with an illness, God got you, baby.
Yes.
He got
you.
He's covering you.
Yes. Because we're going to get into talking about that, because you know firsthand, and since you mentioned about your situation in the last year getting divorced, you don't have to go into it in deep, in depth, but talk to us. Tell us out there. Tell us women. Tell us sisters out there. Tell us, you know, let us know your experience, because you were married. Like you said, you felt you were going to grow old together because you were married for how long?
24 years, my beloved. 24 years.
24 years.
24
and
years. And when I say run TNT and the enemy come to kill, steal, and destroy, and I love my ex-husband and my prayers are truly with him.
Yes.
Bitch.
Yes.
God had given me an...
Okay, we're probably breaking up on the other end.
Sent in for my patent and got it patented and got my patent now and listed as an inventor. And it's right now in fruition to be birthed, because I know God has given me this invention for it to be passed and have a patent. And God's seal is on it, because no way I could have thought of this. It came from God.
Right.
And when I shared it with my ex-husband, he began to start verbally abusing me. He began to say, "You're crazy. God ain't gave you this. And I'm not going to lose what we built over the years following you with this invention." And it just blew my mind away. I began praying, standing in the gap. "God, show my husband what you have given me," praying. But as I prayed, the devil got even stronger with him.
Yeah.
My beloved, some days when I come home from work, I mean, I could see Satan in his eyes. "I'm tired of you pursuing this invention, and if you don't quit it, it's going to cause this marriage." And I didn't take him at his word. I just counseled as a woman, love her husband, just pray for him. But I knew that I had heard from God, and I had to follow what God had given me. And I told him, "You can't ask me to give up what God has given me." And sure enough, like he said, my beloved, he made my life a living my nightmare there in the home with him. And as I see God and the verbal abuse began to get so bad, I prayed for God's guidance. And like I shared, oh, my God.
Well, he revealed that to you because you asked him about it, and he revealed the truth. He allowed that truth. He allowed that negative energy, that part of your husband to reveal itself, because, you know, as many times as I encourage you and uplift you and let you know, sometimes, you know, our relationships come to a season, come to an end, and where they have been looking like, okay, they will be in our life forever, that something happens because God gave you something divine. He gave you a divine idea, and the reality of it is that your ex-husband was not supposed to be involved and benefit from these ideas. You didn't get one, but you got two. Well, we're going to talk about those in a minute, but what I want you to do is back up a little bit, because prior to that, you had a major illness. And you know what? I never heard the complete story to how everything revealed itself, and you were then diagnosed with leukemia. So talk to us about that experience.
On October of 2009, I began to feel so fatigued, my beloved. I went to the doctor, and they just said, "Well, you have a sinus infection," and they gave me antibiotics. And it cleared up for a week. Next week, I had those same symptoms, and I went back. And also, audience, listen well to this. If nothing else, you hear me. Listen to your body. Your body will speak to you.
Yes.
Your body will speak. And my body began to speak to me. Things was happening to my body, my beloved, that it was just unreal. I began to itchy. I had a scratch that I just itch. And I told my doctor,
She gave me cream. I went back home again, my beloved week. Had to go back again with symptoms telling her something is wrong. I began to break out in rashes more. When I went back the third time, I said, don't give me anything else. I said, I'm looking at you face to face, and you're not sending me that call. Something is wrong with my body. I know my body.
Yeah.
She said to me, my beloved, I'm going to do the most extensive blood work I can ever do on my patient. She said, because I hear you, Miss Hood, and you looking firm at me. And it's just like God began to tell me to tell her, you can't keep giving me prescription and something is wrong with my body. And that's the reason, my beloved, you all, listen to your body. They did blood work on me that Tuesday. That Wednesday, I went to work. I got a call at work on my job. It was my doctor. She said, get to the hospital. We have ordered you a bed. And she said over the phone, it's leukemia. And I'm honest to tell you, audience, I didn't really actually know what leukemia was. I thought, I can't have that. That's a child. I don't know. My mind took me to a place. And I thank God, because even now I can look back. It was my faith began to operate. One received the report she was giving me. You know how sometimes you can something can be given to you, but you won't automatically receive it. And
right.
I couldn't receive it. And I did like they told me. We got to the hospital, and I got the most devastating news anyone would ever want to hear in their life. They ordered the bed, told me to get my family. They got me to Northside here in Atlanta, Georgia. Northside Hospital in Atlanta, Georgia has one of the best cancer treatment centers in Georgia. Three doctors, they all come around me. They got me in bed and start prepping, and they told my family, we got to start chemo right away. Ms. I had acute leukemia. And when it's called acute, it means exactly what it say, my beloved. Acute means it's working. It's eating. It's acute, a leukemia working in the body. And they said they needed to go in there and start killing the cells right away. My white cells was eating up my red cells. That was the infection and why I was itching. My blood wasn't circulating in my body. And when I could see in her office and say I'm itching, I was itching so bad, my beloved, it began to disturb me in my sleep. It began to itch so to connect and soothe the itching, and that's why all the white cells and red cells was running together, and it was leukemia in my body. And I just thank God for speaking to me about my body. So when if a doctor keep giving you prescriptions, you keep going back. So no, I demand that you do anything, everything you need to do to make sure what's going on with my body is being diagnosed, you know. And I just thank God that I had a doctor listen to me, and they was able to start it the chemo, and it was one of the most expensive chemo that a body can take. I had to be hospitalized for 30 days to go in there and kill all my red cells because they were eating up my white cells because it was an acute.
Right.
And when I tell you, it was a fight of my life.
Yes.
And I really had to accept what they said because they really began to tell me, my beloved, you really need to talk with a therapist because you're not accepting it. And I understand even now that I couldn't fully accept it because I wasn't going to accept that was the end of my life, because anytime we hear the word teeth, cancer, we think it's a death sentence. We think that's the end of the road. But it began where I began to pull into my faith and my strength and began to fight the good fight of faith and began to speak on God's word. By his stripes I'm healed. I shall live and I shall not die. But I had so many bone marrows, so sometimes I didn't even know I was in the world, my beloved. And to this day on my left hip, sometimes when it, just like I used to hear the old folks say, I know when it's going to rain because that needle went in that hip to draw out bone marrow, to test my blood, to see what they make of the cells and everything it needed. I had so many. But I thank God that they was able to get me back into remission and to get my blood count to working, because if it didn't, I would have had a needed a bone marrow transplant. Yes. But God, He's such a healer. He restored me. And right now, I'm 6 years in remission of leukemia.
6 years. In remission.
6 years in remission.
6 years. Yes, ma'am. And you know what? And during that time that this was going on, I know personally I was going through my own transitions, and I didn't get to see you in that most time that you're talking about, a little bit longer, because some things had changed, you know, with in my personal life. And so I didn't find out about this until after the fact. But, you know, I'm just like in total awe, because as I made sure the description for this show said, a woman of faith, and this that you just went through, that helped set you up for what you just went through last year with this experience of being married for 24 years and it coming to such an abrupt end based off of the ego of somebody else. Of saying that you didn't contribute to the building of your family and the building of your relationship, that, you know, basically it was over. It was over. And I know that you are continuing to stay in healing. As you know, I am here for you, because I know God has things bigger and better for you and your next level of relationship that's going to be more of a spiritual partnership, that's going to be able to accept and understand and support you in each and everything that you do, and will be able to see it through spiritual eyes, what God has given you, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But I ask you another question. You know, what advice at this point in your life, what advice would you give your younger self?
Repeat that again, my love.
What advice would you give your younger self out of everything that you experienced so far?
What advice would I give myself if I was younger?
Your younger self. Your younger self.
My younger self?
Yes, ma'am.
The best advice, you know, in my life journey, we all have made a lot of mistakes in life. Even I had my son out of wedlock, and I don't feel that was a mistake. And I know we should be married before we have our children, but my son is the most precious gift given to me in life. And I had him when I got pregnant when I was 19 with him, and I was 20 when I had him. And my son is not my ex-husband's child. I had my son before I married my ex-husband, but my son is the most precious gift that God has could have ever given me. And that's when I could relate to the mother in Baltimore about her son, because we love our children. But the young advice I could give myself that I regret, that I can, anything else in life that I regret, is when I dropped out of school. Anything I could tell the listening audience is get your education. Because as for myself, on these jobs and working, I always feel that was a hinder with me in my life, as far as being promoted on the job because of my education, that I didn't have a high school diploma to apply for jobs or position. I didn't have the skills. And it was such a regret in my life that I didn't. And you know, my beloved, that you was a part of my circle when the Holy Spirit spoke to me to go back and get my GED, and I went back and got my GED in 2006, and you was a part of that celebration, and you were there to walk with me. And it was such a giant in my life, because I'm not a very smart person. I'm a very humble person. And when I say audience, I'm not putting myself down. I'm not belittling myself. And I feel like Moses, a lot of us are familiar with Moses, because he went to God in his fear when God told him to go out and God, I stutter. And that's the way I feel in life, that I wasn't a smart person. That was a all my young life now, because I was 50-something getting my GED. But it was just a part of life that it was a void that needed to be filled. You know how it's something in your life, you know, like this is on my bucket to-do list. Before I leave this world, this got to be done. This has to be complete. And that's the way that GED was with me. And then I was called into the ministry as an, you know, as an evangelist. And the enemy like, who are you to evangelize? Who are you to be called as a minister? Want to tell somebody about God? You know, you too scared, or you don't feel you qualified enough to go back and get your GED. You know, you ain't smart. You know, Satan will talk to us like that. He'll put them stumbling blocks in our life, and he'll put the road, you know, there in front of us. And he had did that so many years in my life, and the GED was such a symbolic to me to get. I was able to pass all my tests but science and math. That's also what our children failed the most in, is science and math. And it was just like I couldn't pass science or math to save my life. I began to pray and say, God, you say, what you do for one, you'll do for other. No prospective person you'll do. And I talk to God just like I'm talking to you. I said, no, okay, God, I'm not asking to be a lawyer trying to get my degree in law. I'm not trying to be a doctor, surgeon, a dentist. I'm just trying to get a high school diploma, my GED. When I tell my grandchildren they can do whatever, all things through Christ, God, I want them to be able to see that grandmama went back and that you honor and you gave me my heart desire. And he gave me that heart desire. And I was able to pass math and science and audience. I'm not even ashamed to tell you. It really took me close to 6 years to get my GED, and I did not give up. That's just how bad I wanted it, and it was a desire in my heart. And I'll never forget the Bishop T.D. Jakes. I was listening to him one day on a TV program, ministry program, and he said that God spoke to him when he had did a funeral. And he said that God spoke to him and said, look out there at that grave. Look at all those dead dreams that went dead in the grave with these people where they didn't fulfill their dreams. And I went like, wow. When I tell you, that spoke from my heart. And I was like, God, I don't want my dreams to die with me. I don't want to get before God and say, well, I should have sought out my invention. Well, I should have got my GED. Well, I should have went on my cruise. Why should have went on? You know, we don't want to live this life regretting why we was here, the opportunities. And that's the reason I'm sharing what I regret in life, my GED, you know, getting my high school diploma. And I thank God that I did, because I feel like I could have did better on my job, beloved, making more money, because, you know, the better your education, the more you can make as your salary. And that's why you see so many people going back getting their degree, their PhD, because years ago I worked at a school as a school custodial worker. And when I would see the job print out what people made with their PhDs and their master's, they would make close to $3,000 more just for the education and their degree, what they have to offer into the jobs. And I learned that years ago working. And that's when I always just had that regret in my life. God, you know, I could make more if I learn more, if I could get a skill, if I could do more. So just better your education, learn all that you can learn, get all the skills you could get, you know, and teach your children and your grandchildren. And that's the opportunity now that I have, my beloved. And that's the reason I'm honored to be talking to you, my spiritual goddaughter. Well, God, now open up this in your life, and that's what I love about you, baby, that you was open to learning. You wasn't to venture out and move out to Texas and, you know, spread your wings and see what God has for you out here in this big old world. So you're a mouthpiece for so many of us and a voice for so many, and I'm just so honored to talk with you all tonight and just to tell you how proud I am of you, my baby. And when I first met her, everyone, she was my baby girl. Hey, my baby girl. Well, now
and
she's
I
my beloved daughter.
That name. Yes, ma'am. I answer to that name because it's nothing like receiving that kind of love and someone name you baby girl. And you just coming for the right way and for the right reasons from pure love. And so, you know, I still answer to baby girl because that's that special name that you gave me first. And, it, you know, it upgraded to beloved, but that's okay because I take it all because it's all love and it's all based on love. But you know what? Something hit me when you were talking about, you know, when you did the job, the janitorial work, and you would look at those printouts that would show you what people were making with these higher degrees. And something came over me as you were talking and saying, you know, yeah, we can do all that, but you know what? I tell you what,
mm-hmm.
God has given you what you're supposed to have now. Right now,
right.
With your two ideas, and you have the education that you need to have right now at this moment, and you're learning, you've been learning on the job, because the industry
that you're in
in fashion accessories, as long as you've been in that industry for a long time, 14, 15 years,
you have been
learning on the job, and some of us, that's how we learn. We learn better on the job, hands-on, versus sitting in a classroom and basically listening to lectures and reading books. Anyone can be book smart, mother. Anyone can be book smart. Anyone can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for a degree, a master's, a PhD, but that doesn't make them wise. You are a wise woman. You are a wise woman, and so wisdom comes from simplicity. Wisdom comes from common sense, and that is what God's spirit is about. So I just want to share that with you because that's what came to me as you were talking about that. So you can take that to the bank because that's what you're getting ready to do with these ideas. So let's jump in and talk about these two ideas and talk about first, the book hook carrier and how it came to be, how it was given to you, because this remember, people, our listeners, this is the idea that she explained earlier in the segment that her husband was calling her crazy about. And, you know, explain to our listeners how this idea came to you and, you know, what happened to basically plant this seed, which you're still planting the seed to get ready to birth this idea we're looking at in 2015. So talk to us.
Well, baby girl, Book Hook Carrier was birthed when I purchased a book called Proof of Heaven. And the book Proof of Heaven is by Ellen Alexandra, and he is a colleague of Dr. Oz, and he experienced afterlife, and he's a science doctor, and he was on Good Morning America. Everyone was talking about him, and I had heard about him, and one day I was at the SAM, and I saw this book that he had written called Proof of Heaven, and I caught him on World News when they had him interviewing him, and I was just so touched by the book because earlier I had shared going through acute leukemia, and some days, like I say, I knew I was just almost on death's bed. I was on my bed of affliction, as old folks would say, and I experienced some things, and the book was just such a blessing because he didn't believe in the afterlife, and he had told all his patients all these years, what you all experienced is no heaven. You all just experienced that, but behold, God allowed him to experience for all these years his patients had been telling him. And this doctor, which is a colleague, a Dr. Oz, wrote this book. And I bought the book. And that Saturday morning, my beloved, I began to read the book, Proof of Heaven. And the book, my beloved, I never in all of my days read a book in one day. I started that book at 9 o'clock that morning, and I just made my coffee. And in between reading the book, I was like, God, I need something to hold my book. I want to eat my breakfast, and I'm still reading noon. And that's when Book Hook
carry was birthed into my spirit. God said, get your clipboard, get your lamp thing, wrap your book around. And I took the book and hooked it to my tape. And I went, oh, Lord, this is me. And I began to say, God, I'm sure somebody else is reading the book and feel like I feel. Want to eat their breakfast in there? Want to go back and eat their lunch? Want something to hold their book? Prop it up? And behold, I even could take the book to the bathroom and hook it to the bathroom hamper for me rigging up the birth of the invention that God had given me. And I began to pray daily, God, show me what to do. And he began to tell me, take the pictures, write down. And I found this company called Paper to Thought, that's what it's called, Paper to Thought. You got a thought, we'll put it on paper. We will help you birth your invention. And I was a little leery about them, baby girl, or even doing my research. Because first, when you have a patent, when God give you an invention, you got to do a patent search. You got to see if anybody have anything out there, what you have. And this company walked with me and helped me to birth Book Hook Carrier. I have the paperwork on it. They did the design. They have did all my marketing work, the Georgia trademark. I'm listed as an inventor with my number, with his seal, and everything. And even going back to my ex-husband, none of that impressed him. He said, I don't care. That's nothing but a bunch of crap. I'm not following you with this. You crazy. This is just nonsense. And as I shared with you, my beloved, I fell on my knees and prayed. Couldn't believe it. I was in awe when I received the letter saying, congratulations, Miss Sandra, you're listed as an inventor, a book or carrier. This is your number. You can market it. You can do whatever you need to do. And I began to market the invention, and my first marketing letters went out to Coach. And they was interested in it, but they wanted me to release my rights. And I knew that God has given me this invention not to just give to a mega company already who's millions and millions, you know, because I truly want to be able to give to Leukemia Cancer Society, because they saved my life. And if God gave me a vision to go pay back into an organization that have saved my life, and I believe that's why God gave it to me, my beloved. And I also believe in the body of Christ, giving back to God what he has given. And I know it wasn't for me to give to this company and sign away my rights. So once I knew that Coach was interested in it, I knew that God had given me something. And I marketed even more. And even Walmart has showed an interest and said, wrote me back a letter and said, this is one of the most wonderful invention that we have seen, and we would definitely put it on our shelf. And I just give God honor. I give him glory. I'm giving full. I never thought, even I share early, I feel like Moses. You know, Moses in the Bible, I have a sister named Miriam. He have a sister named Sandra, too, because I didn't feel Georgia Trademark would have honored someone struggle with a GED.
Yeah.
Took 6 years to get a GED. That Georgia Trademark see something that God gave me. So I'm very humble about it, you all. I'm so humble. I'm at his feet about it.
Yes.
I'm very humble about it. And I give him the glory. I give him all the honor. I give him all the praise. And as God birthed Book Hook Carrier, I want them to know that it will also be going to Leukemia Foundation for research. You know, that I won't, you know, because even after all the chemo I had, I still have side effects from it because it went in and killed some of my good nerves. But I'm still grateful to God I'm able to work, but it did a lot of damage to some of my good nerves. So whatever research, you know, that can be done and find some Book Hook Carrier, it will go to that organization.
Well, you know what, Mother?
I don't mean
say
to get full.
No. You're being exactly the way that I expect you, the exact way I love you, and I want again uplift you. There are a lot of people. No, there's a lot of people that you're talking about that again has a master's degree, a PhD, a BA, and guess what? They have never invented one thing. You are an inventor. That is just so high up there that not everybody in this world can say, I'm an inventor. You invented not one, but two things. Now, we're talking about the book hook carrier, which is where a lot of the focus is going to be, because this is something that can benefit everybody in all walks of life, in every situation, to inspire and uplift and support education and continue reading and enjoying it. But what you're doing is you're going to put the fashion spin on it, because you've been in the business for a long time, and you know what's out there. You're going to make it your own. It is your own, and you're going to go out there, and even I know you share with me, you're going to go to the colleges and go and speak about your journey, speak about the business, and speak about how people can get involved with your new nonprofit organization that you're going to be founding here soon, to be able to get back, to play it forward, to support other people that are going through these experiences. But let's talk about your second idea, the second idea that also was birthed from you, which is called the lipstick kit. Now, just talk about how this came. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how that came to you.
Okay, but let me just share one more thing. Let me just share one more thing about Book Hook Carrier.
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Yes.
But Book Hook Carrier is like a crossbody purse that's going to be able to take your book and going to be able to hold it together, and it's going to come out like a transform into a portable stand, which you can hook to a table. Even if you want to go to the park, Book Hook Carrier, just like your purse, you'll be able to open it up, pull it out like a transformer, put your book in it. Even if you're reading at night, it comes with a light that will come out, also will give you light. When you get, you can carry it on the plane, you can carry it to the park. And that's the vision and the dream that God has shown me, that college student will be able to carry it on campus, can carry it with style. It will come. God has shown me the vision that it can be in colors. Even also, I want to get with when we get them made, that if you want your name on it, it can be logo with your name, or it can be whatever color you want. It could be your design. And also, how I met baby girl, I worked at Macy's, and that's when God birthed in my spirit to make it fashionable, to make it a crossbody. And I just want to point out, too, that's why Coach was interested in it, because Coach know, and also in the abbreviation for Book Hook Carrier, it's not only designed to carry your book. You can carry your laptop. You can carry your iPad. It's designed for all of that, the unique style. And Coach saw that they can make it their style. And when I wrote, when the letter was wrote and presented to them, that's where I got the feedback from them. And their lawyer even wrote me back that they wanted to design it and see the vision that I saw to take it to college students. And not only that, they want to make briefcases to bring the light out that God has shown me with the invention. So I just want to give you a little bit more insight on what we're
Yes, ma'am.
Carrier.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay.
One of your divine ideas. And, that's what you're supposed to do, because you're passionate about it, and you know I support you 100% infinity, because this is just the beginning, and that's the one that we're going to be focused on to get out and to get it on the market so that all of us can utilize it, because Lord knows I can use it, because I love my books. I have hundreds of books, and I can definitely use the book carrier, because I love the flipping of the pages. Forget all this tablets and all that crap. I don't deal with that, the technology. I want to hold the book. I want to flip the book page. I want to enjoy that experience. And so I know that I can't wait. Go ahead.
That's right. And that's why with design, baby girl, that you can book hook, can hook your book in there, and you can eat hand-free, read, and take notes. You don't have to hold your book. It's going to, the point, that you can be hands-free.
That's my love. Yes.
Okay, my love.
Yes, I love that. I love that, because I'm telling you, I'm always snacking on something or eating something when I'm reading, because, you want to be snacking and enjoying. You know what? So it's all good.
Yes.
Well, tell us briefly about the second idea, because the focus right now is on the Book Hook Carrier and getting the right manufacturer that's based here in the United States to get the prototype made so that we can get it and launch it out here in 2015. But talk about the lipstick kit. briefly tell us about the lipstick kit so that people understand also the second divine idea that God flowed through you?
Well, baby girl, trying to reestablish my marriage and trying to do all this was the last date me and my ex-husband had. And I listened to Steve Harvey. I really like him. That's my man. And I remember him saying, get a date night. Do whatever you can do to keep the romance in your marriage. And Jane Brown movie was out. And I love Jane Brown. And that was back out in my day. So I said to my husband, please, let's go see Jane Brown movie. He was still bickering. And I never told him about the second invention, baby girl.
Oh,
because
wow.
He told me
okay.
down so much about, he don't even know anything about lipstick kit. He didn't
okay.
know, he don't know anything. God told me not to even tell him because he cut me down about Book Hook Carrier. But it
right.
was birthed on our last date night that we went to see
wow.
Jane Brown movie. So, you know, anytime the movie, when the movie ends, the first place you want to go is to the restroom.
Right.
So after the movie, from the movie, I went to the restroom. And everybody was in the restroom, and I was still trying to keep the fire in my marriage, tried to look nice for my ex-husband. I said, well, let me put on some lipstick. So when I looked around, my beloved, it was packed in the bathroom, and the tube of lipstick I had was at the very bottom, and I had my Q-tip in it. And I began to pray to God, and I began to say, God, these ladies don't say, look at this cheap old lady. She too cheap to buy another tube of lipstick, and she pulling out this old empty thing of lipstick, digging it out with her Q-tip, to put on her lipstick. I was too ashamed to put on my lipstick in the bathroom around all the ladies. So
oh.
when I was in there, just like Oprah say, I had a light bulb moment.
Yeah.
A light bulb was, I said, Lord, what can I do that I'd never be ashamed to use my lipstick, because I was brought up very poor. I was brought up to use everything you got. Don't throw away anything. Utilize what you have. So if I paid $1 for a tube of lipstick, I wanted to use all of my lipstick.
Well,
and my
I'm with
favorite
you.
Lipstick is, my favorite lipstick is Mary Kay, and a tube of Mary Kay is $12. So I
yeah.
can't throw my $12 away. So I had that Q-tip digging in there to get it, and that's how
yes.
the kit was birthed.
Okay.
It's a kit
okay.
that you can
well,
drop your old tube of lipstick in, that you can put replaceable top, and that you'll be able to recycle all of your lipstick out without being shamed with the Q-tip. That's how lipstick kit was birthed.
See, that's
and
wisdom
lipstick,
right there.
That's
wisdom,
how it was
mother.
Birthed. And,
yeah, that's wisdom.
And I've been doing
it don't
this.
Take, it don't take
beloved,
you to go to school
this.
To get that one.
But I've been
it
doing
it
all of my life.
Yeah.
Using that. And it never had, I guess I never had put in an embarrassed moment. You know, because usually at home putting on your lipstick or you in the car, maybe the bathroom don't be that crowded. But I think everyone was like I were that weekend, we wanted to see Jane Brown movie out, and I'm telling
right.
you, it was just overflowing with women's in the bathroom. But that's how that invention was. But I never told my husband. I just kept silent because I truly believe, my beloved, if I told him about this kit, I believe he would have called and had me put in a. I believe he would have called and had me put in an institution.
Mm. You know what? God wouldn't allow that to happen, mother. I know that's how it felt, but God wouldn't allow that to happen. That's why he removed him out of your life, because he was not supposed to benefit on these ideas. And you know what? He's going to be kicking himself in the behind on your way to the bank and doing all these wonderful things you're going to be doing for not only those people that have been there to support you, but also in your community and also for society at large, because this is an anointed idea. It's anointed.
Well,
and not only that, but
God.
How you put your package together, and you made sure to anoint these things, because I shared this on Facebook, the power of the dream, and the other, you had a daily word, a starting point message about every dream. dream as well, that you label the lipstick kit. And, you know, we can't go into those right now because we're coming up towards the end of the show. But, this whole thing is anointed. It's anointed. And you know what?
It is.
Like I said, it's anointed. It's anointed. And if those
it
of
is,
you.
It's from God. There's no way I could have thought of this. There's
no
way I could have. And, you know, it's God be the glory. And that's the reason I say it's nobody but God, because the reason I can say that sincerely from my heart, when I got back the diagram from the engineer who wrote out Book Hook Carry and Lipstick Kit, I cried. You know, when you are on, you know what God has done, you have to cry yourself. And I truly believe God, like you say, God used ordinary people to do ordinary things that he knows that won't get in the way of his glory.
Yes. Yes.
And
I'm going to tell you something.
Holy
Spirit. I'm going to continue on that note, because I'm going to tell you something. That idea wasn't for anyone to flow but you, because Lord knows myself, and I know many of women who have, just what you said, spent a lot of money on lipstick and didn't want to throw it away, would get their little Q-tip and put it in there and do the same thing. I confess, I am definitely one of those women. But I'm going to tell you, in no way, shape, or form did I ever have a click of that light on and say, hey, this is a good idea. You need to go ahead and put this down on paper and get it patented. Because it wasn't for me to do. It was waiting for you. God had already ordained it for you. And I'm so proud of you. I'm just so proud of you. You are awesome. And for those that
it's
don't.
God, baby. I get
I know,
it's
but
God.
You know what? God is working through you. Just like you uplifted me, I am uplifting you. So receive it, mother. Receive these blessings, because
praise
that's
God.
How it goes around, in a circle, in infinity. We share, we uplift each other. This is what it means to motherhood. This is what it means to sisterhood. This is what it means to woman and womanhood. It's important for that sacred relationship for people to understand, especially women to understand, this is what it looks like. This is what we should be doing. So the last question, before we wrap up the segment, that I want to ask you, if you could ask God one question, what would that question be?
God, is you pleased with me?
Whoa.
God, is you pleased with me?
Yes.
And I pray and hope his answer is yes.
Oh, I believe so. I don't think so. I believe so.
Because I think even at the end of our journey, we want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant.
Oh,
at the end of our journey, when we do meet him, we want to hear those good words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So my answer would be to your question, God, is you pleased with me? Because I want to be pleasing to God. Because if I'm pleasing to him, I'll be pleased to my sisterhood, to my fellow man.
Yes.
To my brother, to my sister,
to
my neighbor, to my community.
Yes.
So if I'm a light to, you know, as he said, we are the light of the world. And if our light shines, be pleased with us. Amen.
And that right there, I don't need to say nothing else, because that right there just totally sealed the deal, mother. And I love you so much. You know, I'll be talking to you
soon. Remember what I'm saying is, I love you more.
I love you more to infinity.
Amen.
All right.
And
one thing I want to say
this. May the peace of God be with you, rest through, and all of you. And it was a pleasure being with you and the audience. And God bless you all. And I love you all more, more, more. Hugs and kisses to you all.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, that doesn't need anything else to be said. I don't need to close the show with nothing else. All I need to do is play the music. So I hope you join us next week for our last mother who's coming on the show, Mother Annie Lee.